All right, then, we're into our second hour. What's going on? Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a good weekend, and I hope your week's off to a good start. Our show's off to a very good start. Looking back at hour number one, we had Jalen Smith of the Dallas Cowboys, who had a huge game in the win over Seattle. I want to reset that momentarily. We had Charles Robinson in as well. Second hour is wide open. In hour number three, Houston Cougars head football coach Dana Holgorsen joins us. Championship game this evening in Santa Clara. Clemson and Alabama going to run it back once again. In the meantime, you should call me now. You know the phone number. Use it, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me on social, do that. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Go to our Facebook page. Mark that thing up. Check out my Instagram feed. Also, email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitake.com. Liz in Fall City loves her some Dallas Cowboy talk. She tweets, love Jalen Smith, getting the Dallas Cowboys some jungle karma today. War America's team being back. Boy, he got that early, didn't he, in the interview? The America's team thing? I'm not quite ready to take that back from Cleveland to give to Dallas. You're going to have to do more than win one playoff game before I'm going to rip the America's team moniker from the Browns. Except Jalen Smith is something else. Leslie Gonzalez tweets, great interview with Jalen Smith. Amazing player. Sounds like an awesome human. Hashtag War Lady Clones, proud ND alum. Look at the Lady Clones going back to back.
War Lady Clones.
He is an amazing player and a really impressive young guy. Really impressive. Again, he suffered a devastating knee injury in the Fiesta Bowl. So never again ask me why guys skip bowl games to protect themselves. The difference being, this guy fought his way all the way back. And it's been an absolute freak. And I mean that in the best way possible. An absolute freak on the field. So when he's off to the side, even Jason Garrett, I had a quote that I want to read for him that I didn't. But even Jason Garrett talked about how inspiring it was to see Jalen go to work every single day by himself while the team was doing what he was doing. For him to go to work by himself to bring himself back to where he is right now. And in case you missed it last hour, I said, Jalen, exactly what is that? What's the mindset? How did you view that? How did you approach that? How lonely is rehab? How were you able to put yourself in a position that you're in right now, given the injury you suffered?
So a focused vision is, being able to identify what you want to accomplish and being able to see it clearly. And then a determined belief is about, a self-belief, a belief in yourself, a belief in God that he has your back, throughout this process. And then earned dreams is just about how bad do you want it? What work are you willing to put in to accomplish that goal? So a clear eye view. I came up with in my sophomore year of college, this platform that we're on, what defines me, how can I get out and get people to understand who I am? And, was able to, fortunate enough to be able to put that on display. So I believe everyone should have a clear eye view, whether you play sports or not.
A clear eye view. I've heard him mention that a number of times. A clear eye view, and he laid out exactly what that means to him, and he talked about his approach. All right, phone call is coming up in a minute, but let me give you my thoughts on the Chargers-Ravens first. Yesterday's first game, Chargers-Ravens. That, of course, was a rematch of that Week 16 game. Except this time, things were reversed. Instead of playing in SoCal, that game was in Baltimore. Instead of the Chargers being favored, the Ravens were. Instead of the Ravens pounding the Chargers, it was the Chargers who pounded the Ravens. Instead of Lamar Jackson making the Chargers look foolish, it was the Chargers doing that to Lamar. You see, L.A. remembered that loss. L.A. went to school on that loss. L.A. came out with a different approach, a new approach. That new approach was not just showing up with their quarter package, putting seven DBs on the field, and shutting down Jackson. In that first game, the Ravens bullied the Chargers, which probably explained why three Ravens players showed up to yesterday's game wearing masks, with one carrying a baseball bat. Chargers corner Casey Hayward Jr. saw that on social media. He didn't like it. He told SI, quote, "They were trying to come in here like they were bullies." Well, sometimes bullies get hit in the mouth. They can put that mask on and go back out so nobody recognizes them. End quote. They got a word for that. roasted. That's exactly what the Chargers did. They punched the Ravens in the mouth repeatedly, and they would not stop. Those seven DBs shut down Lamar Jackson. They could cover in the passing game, but they had the speed to lock him down in the run game too. So if you've been focused on the Chargers offense to the point that you've totally forgotten about their defense, you've got to stop that right now. I mean, yes, Phillip Rivers is a stud. The guy's still a monster, especially on the road this year. And so are Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen. But do not forget about the defense. Melvin Ingram is a beast. That D-line is serious. Their secondary is legit. That defense is for real, and it does travel. They're 8-1 on the road. And they can survive weird-ass games, like yesterday, because that was weird. That was weird now, including that bizarre series down the goal line that looked like a Chargers touchdown, then a Ravens touchdown, and then a Chargers touchdown again. And if for whatever reason you've also been sleeping on Anthony Lynn as a head coach, you got to stop that too. He and D coordinator Gus Bradley pantsed John Harbaugh and the Ravens coaching staff. Damian Square, a Chargers D-end who played nose tackle yesterday, told SI the defense knew what the Ravens were doing, quote, 60 to 70% of the time, end quote. And that's why through the first three quarters, the Ravens had a total of 83 yards, three first downs, and 3 points. And now let's talk for a moment about everybody who was in that stadium yesterday and who was on Twitter yesterday. You know, all the people freaking out and killing Lamar Jackson. Yes, the guy was brutal for the first three quarters. Yes, he had as bad a three quarters as you can possibly have. He's a rookie making his first playoff start, and he looked every bit the part. Hell, at times, he didn't look like a rookie playing in his first playoff game. He looked like a guy playing in his first football game. That bad. But if you want to get bent about him and how he showed up in that playoff game, then you have to remember the Ravens are not in that playoff game without this guy. And remember that he was not surprising anybody in this game. The Chargers saw him a couple of weeks back. The Chargers got that second look at him when nobody else had. They studied him. They schemed for him. They changed their approach. They did. The Ravens didn't. And here's another thing for everybody booing him in the stadium and killing him on Twitter. Everybody who wanted him taken out of that game. For who? For what? Settle down, dopes. You had Joe Flacco on the sideline, not Joe Montana.
Hey!
I tweeted that at the time. I'll say it again right now. It was Joe Flacco on the sideline, not Joe Montana. Let's not forget that Joe Flacco wasn't even Joe Flacco in his first playoff start. You know, the guy you're killing, Lamar, for his first playoff start. Remember Flacco? He went 9 for 23 for 135 yards in his first playoff start. And he was Joe Flacco this season, which is why he lost his starting job and had not played in 2 months. You think that guy was just going to roll off the sideline in the fourth quarter and start dropping dimes? No, but I'll tell you who did. I'll tell you who did do that. The guy who did roll off the sideline in the fourth quarter and start dropping dimes. The guy who did that was this guy.
Ball down the field, and it is caught. That's Crabtree with the touchdown.
That guy. Lamar Jackson. Also, the same guy. This guy.
Jackson, look at that cut. Look at the Ravens down the field, and it's caught by Dixon. Dixon roaming free in the secondary and down to the 10.
Look at this play. Jackson with his best play of the game.
So what I'm saying to you is this guy, Lamar Jackson, damn near led them all the way back in the fourth quarter. Damn near led them all the way back. The guy you were killing, the guy that you wanted benched, damn near led them all the way back. Do that, finish it off, and we're talking about an absolute legend. So of course it was the right decision to keep him in that game. In a game where John Harbaugh got absolutely outcoached by Anthony Lynn, he did make the right call. In that case, it's just that the Chargers were that much better as a team. The Chargers were that much better coached. LA is tough as hell. They made it close in the end, but in January, it's all about survive and advance, and they did both. They got it done. They changed up. The Ravens did not. The Chargers adjusted. The Ravens did not. Anthony Lynn says, we went to school on that first game.
Well, you know, the more times you see that offense, the better you're going to be against it. You know, I used to run that offense. And I remember we started out really fast, 1-4 in a row. But when people got enough tape on us, they could catch up to us. And you know, I think that's what happened today. We saw it enough.
They saw it enough. They got a second shot at that offense nobody else had. So when you haven't seen that offense or you can't emulate or simulate that offense in practice, it's going to cause some problems. And it did. But the Chargers are an extremely well-coached team with Anthony Lynn and Gus Bradley. And they played them about 15 days ago. And they went to school on it. And they fared better. And now going ahead, you know, look, the Ravens know they can't win football games like that. They can't sustain that long term. They're going to have to take the next step with Lamar Jackson. And they will. I still buy into that guy. I don't change anything I said about that guy going into that game. In fact, if anything, it proves my point. This guy was horrible for 3+ quarters. This guy, like I said, never mind playing his first playoff game. He looked like he was playing his first football game. The fans are booing him. Nothing's going right. He's on the big stage, but the guy didn't blink. He didn't panic. He didn't shut down. He didn't say, oh, it's not my day. This guy battled back, played big in the fourth, and literally had the ball in his hands and a chance to win that game in the end. That, more than anything else, tells me about this guy's heart, this guy's grit, and the fact that this guy can win. Harbaugh had a right to leave him in there. He just got outcoached. They got outplayed. They got outclassed. So tip your hat to the Chargers. And now they go to Foxborough. What do they get for their efforts? They win 12 games. They're one of the best teams in the NFL. And what do they get? What's their reward? A trip across the country to Baltimore. Then they go to Baltimore, and they beat a team that beat them a couple of weeks before that. What's their reward for that? Another trip across the country. Because they're not staying on the East Coast. They came home. When we come back, open phones. Do not hang up. If you're on hold, you've got a chance to get through. Who do you like in tonight's title game? What's the latest line on that? Last I checked, it was Clemson +6. Down to 5.5 now. Are you going to play that game? Who do you like and why? Hit me up. Let me know. We'll get into that title game before the end of the program, obviously. So the new year brings exciting new opportunities. I've got some advice to help you make sure that you're at the top of your game so you can take advantage of those opportunities. Get a great night of sleep every single night. And when you sleep on a Casper mattress, you are guaranteed to get the best night of sleep you've ever had. Switching to a Casper is a no-brainer. It's a high-quality mattress at an affordable price. I sleep well every single night, and I never wake up overheated thanks to the unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and alignment. Casper ships right to your door for free in a box that is so small you'll wonder how they even got the mattress inside of it. And they'll pick it up if you don't love it, and they'll refund you everything. But I sincerely doubt that's going to happen. From its engineering to its packaging to letting you try for 100 nights, it's no wonder Casper has over 35,000 five-star reviews of all their products across Casper, Google, and Amazon. Go to Casper.com right now. Use the code ROME, get $50 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code ROME, get $50 off. Casper.com. Conditions do apply. Additional fees may apply. For Hawaii and Alaska, terms and conditions do apply. All right, so we got open phones, 1-800-636-8686. As I mentioned, we're a man down. Or maybe it's addition by subtraction. Hawk's not here. And a lot of you are responding to that. And not only that, but the fact that I guess, I'll be honest, he is my EP. I do follow him on Twitter. I didn't see it. I guess Hawk posted that he had a 12-mile run, but he was averaging like 12 minutes a mile. Isn't 12 minutes a mile like 4 miles an hour? In other words, he walked 12 miles. I don't know. He's not good at math, and I really don't even want to take the time to do the math, but apparently some of you have, which I will get to momentarily. Like this guy, Rome. Sure, Hawk is sick. We're sure it wasn't the fact that he ran an impressive 12-minute pace 12 miles this weekend and isn't just laid up on the couch unable to move. Signed, the specialty shoe shop that he stiffed. Joe in Huntington Beach. See how it's standing reason. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he went on a 12-mile run. Remember, Adam Hawk got it in his head that this year's thing was he was going to run a marathon. So he went online, and you can do this. You can train to run a marathon even if you're not a long-distance runner by going online. And there are programs that you can follow. Apparently, he did that. So this has been his thing. This has been his goal. And again, I didn't see it online over the weekend, but he ran 12 miles one day. Well, walked 12 miles one day. Crawled 12 miles one day. Hell, drove 12 miles one day. Whatever it was, that's probably the reason why he's all laid up right now. The text started like at 4:15 this morning. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try real hard. I might be a little bit down energy-wise, and just know that, but I'm going to play through it. 50 minutes later, I don't know. I stood up in the shower, and not to be too dramatic, but I don't know that I can stand up at all. I'm like, Hawk, just stay home. Just stay home. It's like, we won't even miss you. Just stay home. So I'm not sure if it's from the run, or there's something going around, or he didn't get his flu shot, or that's the karma he gets for stiffing that gal at the shoe shop. Whatever it is, he's not here. It's probably karma. I'm going to say karma. SoCal Jeff. If SoCal Jeff is in, he's probably talking about the WNBA. If he's not talking about the WNBA, he's probably talking about how much somebody weighs. Let's find out. It's SoCal Jeff tweets, Jim, you're talking about the Chargers, but not mentioning King Thickness himself. Antonio Gates, dude's the widest tight end in the league. Feed that man. Oh, you mean that guy who caught all four of his targets yesterday? You mean that guy who Philip Rivers loves to go to on third down? You mean that guy who still moves the chains? You mean that guy, Jeff? Yeah, I'll get there, Jeff, but not the way you want me to. Rome, isn't it quite a quinky-dink that Adam Hawk is too sick to show up today? Dude is going dry this month. He's training for a marathon. You would think that he'd be at peak health. But meanwhile, he gets a trickle in his throat and he can't come in. I bet that loser is binging Netflix all day long. Signed, The Office Sick Guy. Chris No Longer in St. Pete. Non-sick day taker. War outside sales. Anybody who wars outside sales is a warrior. Chris, I know you're never calling in sick. Of course I called in sick. Look, I know guys that have worked here that have gone literally years without taking a sick day. Man, just grind through everything. Everything, everything, everything. I try to be that guy myself. You know, Hawk, I hate to say it, and I know you're listening and trying to act like you're playing through it. If you're not here, you're not, by the way. But he's got a point, right? You're not drinking, and you're training for a marathon. And you're on a diet. Shouldn't you be peak health? Hawk, you should be able to work 18-hour days, not 18-minute days. He's got a good point, Hawk. Hey, Rome. Nothing wrong with tweeting at Cody Parkey to let him know that he's a huge failure. Signed, people who trample and stab each other on Black Friday. Steve and PHX. And not only that, Steve, but don't forget about the people who also strap on adult Depends so they don't lose their place in line. Hey, man, saving money on that laptop is way more important. You can't put a price on that. Well, actually, you can't put a price on that. But you can't put a price on my dignity. Times are tough. Believe me, I know it. It is hard. Javi, it is hard. It's never been more difficult for most people to make money than it is right now. I get it. You need a laptop. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's for your kid who's in high school. Maybe it's for your kid who's going away to college. But at some point, you got to draw the line. You have to draw the line somewhere. And where you draw that line is when you strap on that adult diaper so you don't lose your place in line. That's where you draw the line. Yeah, I don't know, Rome. You're telling me, Rome, that if you could get a 70-inch big screen for $100, you wouldn't rock a diaper for 48 hours? Essentially, that's what I'm telling you. All right, must be nice, radio man. Yeah, it is. They're not putting a diaper on me until they have to. And then I'll rock it proudly. But not for a flat screen, not for a laptop, not for a phone. You save your $900. You save your $900. I got my dignity. You can't put a price on that. I win. 1-800-636-8686. You save your $900. I've got my dignity. $900. How long is that going to last you? Dignity lasts a lifetime. Diapers, dignity. Let's go to the phones. Rex in Albuquerque. Well, that's kind of a coinky dink. Hey, Rex, hey, how Robbie, are you?
I'm great. This is why I eat molten chocolate lava cakes, because I'm in peak physical health and I never miss a day of work. But what a performance by Nick Foles last night. While the senior writers will call in with their obvious and predictable takes, they don't provide the special insight that I do. The major comparison I draw is between Nick Foles and Frank Sinatra. Both show...
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, listen, Rex. This show is still pretty aggressive. I still encourage you to be pretty aggressive. I still encourage you to push the envelope. There are other ways to say that this guy's got a brass set than that. There are other ways to talk about this guy's courage when it matters most. There's other ways to show up, to say this guy shows up big when it matters most, than to go to some Frank Sinatra analogy. We all see what you did there, Rex. And no, I don't think that as tough as Nick Foles is, and we see this time and time and time again from this guy when it matters most. You know, this guy's keeps himself ready, knows that system, is an amazing fit for that system. But of all the positive things that I could say about Nick Foles, I don't think that I can legitimately say that he has, quote, specially constructed underwear. I don't think he needs that, Rex. I don't know. I'm just assuming. There's got to be a better way to make your point, Rex, than that way. Frank Sinatra's got nothing to do with nothing as it relates to this. All right, then. Thanks, Rex, for bringing us down. That did not elevate the conversation. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, I've got a former Smackoff champ on hold. Wait on that. Also, my thoughts on tonight's championship game. Wait on that. Houston Cougars head football coach Dana Holgorsen, top of hour number three. But since we're at the bottom of hour number two, it is time for a sports update. Here you go. Rich Ackerman, take it away.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We're going to talk national championship game in a minute. Heat branded products are designed to keep your fuel system flowing even under the harshest conditions. Remove water, raise MPGs, clean the fuel system. Heat, baby. The return of the Jim Rome podcast. Listen, one programming note. To start 2019, we're going to have the Jim Rome podcast once a week, but what we're doing is we're moving it back to Tuesday. It started Tuesday, we moved it to Wednesdays, now we're moving it back to Tuesdays. So look for that tomorrow. Our first guest of 2019, Boomer Esiason. Remember a few years back, Boomer would come on this show once a week during the NFL season, and we did that for a couple of years, and it was awesome. And then we no longer do that because Boomer's got a hella schedule. It's amazing. The shows that he does, the time he puts in. But Boomer is going to make some additional time for the podcast. So lots to cover with him. Boomer Esiason is going to be my guest on the Jim Rome podcast. That episode's going to drop tomorrow. You want to make sure you look for that. At Mike Gregorio 5 tweets, Sexy Rexy. I didn't catch the call, but if it included Sinatra, I know you did it your way. Hashtag GOAT. He did. That's the problem. He did it his way. That's the problem. He did it his way, which is the worst way. And he got run. At Belligerent Nuck, a.k.a. Matt in Vancouver's in. Tell Hawk to take as much time as he needs. I got this. Thanks, Keith, Nick Foles, Arnold, gunning for the EP gig. Dear Jimmy, Bears fans are handling this loss so bad. I have never seen anyone handle anything this poorly. Signed, Anderson at the bar, slamming shots.
For real? Are you kidding? I don't drink.
Tony in Albuquerque. And one more email getting me into our next topic. I'm going to read this email exactly the way it's written. Yeehaw, Jimmy Crack Corn. Dagnammit, Jimmy. We've been having us a boot scootin', hollerin', hootin', heck of a good old time here in San Francisco, waiting for tonight's championship pittin' Alabama against Clemtucky. But Jimmaroo, since y'all are from California, reckon you can help us find a few things. Meemaw needs a washboard to soap up our long handle underwear. Grandpappy could use some more salve for us to rub on his cotton picking locust bites. And cousin Darla needs another one of them dang old over the shoulder boulder holders. Redneckingly, backwoodsily yours, every possum eating, moonshine sipping, cousin kissing fan of Alabilly and Clemtucky stinking up Levi's Stadium tonight. Signed, Denlesk's City Slicker non-banjo picker. Why is everybody hating on this game? Why y'all gotta hate on Bama Clemson 4? I mean, this weekend was not enough. If you didn't get enough good football this weekend, tonight we get you this. Clemson v. Bama, part 4. And the matchup that we all saw coming back in August is the matchup that we all finally get in January. And let me say a couple of words to people like Denlesk's and the rest of you who are hating on this matchup. Two words. Chad, please.
Chad, please.
Let me tell you about something that I could not care less about and why this is somehow a thing. The get-in price to a football game. Couldn't care less. If you're hating on the college football playoff championship because tickets to a game are not $1,000 ahead, then you're a loser. If you're claiming people do not want to see this matchup because two fan bases, roughly three connecting flights and $1 jillion away, could not swing their second playoff game in as many weeks, then you're trying way too hard to find reasons to hate on this. Listen, these are the two best programs in college football right now by a mile. The last two times that they went head-to-head for the Crystal, the games were epic. If you don't want to see that, that's a you thing, not a college football thing. And if you're not into part four of this rivalry, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but you're really not going to like part five and part six, which might be next year and the year after that, because neither of these programs are going anywhere at all. This is Dabo v. Nick, the two best coaches in the game right now. This is Tua v. Trevor Lawrence, two guys who might already be penciled in as round one, pick one of their respective draft classes. This is a Bama roster, absolutely jammed full of NFL talent, going up against a Clemson roster just as stocked. The Nictator getting his chance to run down Bear Bryant. but he's got to go through Dabo to get there first. Last week, Dabo came on the program. So if you're looking for any kind of edge whatsoever, Clemson has got the jungle karma, always, because Dabo finds a way on this show once or twice a year. Dabo came on, and I asked him about the challenge of stopping Bama and their all-world, all-American quarterback. And as you may have guessed, Dabo had a thought or two or five on that very issue.
First of all, he processes everything. He's incredibly smart. He's crafty. You know, he will lie to you in a heartbeat. He understands how to move a defense, and then boom, the ball is out quick. He's got guts. He's got a ton of courage. He thinks he can make every throw because he can make every throw, and he's not afraid to pull the trigger. But he's got a little bit of Brett Favre in him, a little bit of Michael Vick in him. You know, he's just got a little bit of all that stuff that, you know, you think you got him. And he's got eyes in the back of his head, and he spins out, and the next thing you know, it's a big play because he is so accurate in the pocket, and he's incredibly accurate on the move. So it just his overall athleticism and just his arm and his ability to see it, you know, and that's why they give him so much. I mean, they give him a lot of tools. I mean, he's making a lot of decisions pre-snap, post-snap. You know, everything right now is with Alabama is a bunch of RPOs. You know, because you have to stop the run game. And so, you know, when you try to stop the run game, it creates throwing lanes. And he is so doggone accurate with the ball. And then he's got phenomenal receivers. So it's just it's a hard thing to stop.
Who does that? I mean, who answers a question like that? That is such an amazing answer. That is an amazing answer by an amazing head coach. And he's not an amazing head coach because he answered the question like that, but that's an amazing answer by an amazing head coach. What head coach would ever answer a question like that? That's not a guy spitting cliches, but that's actually a guy telling you what makes Tua so deadly. I don't think that Nick Saban, if you gave Nick Saban truth serum, Nick Saban could not have given you a better answer about his own quarterback than Dabo just did on air. Quote, he will lie to you in a heartbeat is a tremendous line. Also, him comping a sophomore quarterback with Mike Vick and the gunslinger is amazing. That is an incredible answer. That was Dabo Swinney on this show last week. Bama's tough now. I mean, as badass as they are, and they're heavy favorites, they're not unbeatable. They're beatable. You can get these guys. They are beatable. Georgia had them dead to rights until they puked on their shoes. Even without Dexter Lawrence plugging the middle of Clemson's D-line, and that is a thing, even without him, they've got guys. They've got enough guys to fight that battle in the trenches. I'm looking to somehow try to make an argument for Clemson. I really am. And I can if everything breaks right. But it is a tough argument to make. A tough argument to make when you have Tua doing what he's doing. A tough argument to make when you've got Tua, who's already got a championship game under his belt. Tua, who already ripped a title game the way he did last year. Tough to make that argument with the weapons they have on the outside. Tough to make the argument against Bama when you consider the stable of runners they have. And they keep running right at you. Tough to make an argument against Bama when they get after the quarterback the way they do. Now, granted, Trevor Lawrence is not your average freshman. That is no ordinary freshman. We saw that when he took over that starting job and started putting teams in the wood chipper. If the guy were an ordinary quarterback, Dabo would have never given him that opportunity. We knew he was not ordinary when he shredded Notre Dame's secondary and did so with lethal efficiency. This is not an ordinary player. It's a special player. Except Bama's D is a hell of a lot different than the Domer's D. What I'm saying is this. There is a way for Clemson to get this done. They jump on the tide early. They get after Tua, who is still not 100% probably with that high ankle sprain. Maybe they force a turnover or two. Maybe their playmakers do what they've done against everybody else. This can happen. This is feasible. This is possible. But if you're saying to me right now, all right, so what are you saying? Say it or not. It's really difficult for me to go against Bama. I think it's going to be another great game. I think this is maybe the best rivalry in college football right now. But it's awfully tough to go against the Nictator getting himself natty number 7. And if he does, hopefully this time he'll crack at least a smile. Who do you like tonight? Who do you like in this game straight up? Or are you going to play some angle? Are you going to go about it that way? What has to happen for Clemson to win this game? Man, I hate to hedge on you. I hate the hedge, period. What I'm saying is this. Clemson can win this game. Clemson, it would not surprise me if they did win the game, but it's awfully hard to pick against Bama. If I got to pick a winner straight up, I'm going to go Bama. For all the reasons I mentioned. But if things break the right way, Clemson can win this thing. And Dabo, to me, is amazing. He'll have them ready to go. And it's going to be great. And no matter what, here's no hedge here. No matter what, this is not bad for college football. This is not a bad thing. This matchup is great for college football. I'll never hedge with that. In my two cents worth tweets, people can bitch all they want, but the last three championship games are as good as it ever gets. Playoffs are working so far. You know why they're working? Because they got you the two best teams in the country. That's what it's designed to do. I mean, is that what we all want? The two best teams in the country? We have that. Is there any argument anywhere that we don't have the two best teams in the nation? Well, then it works. We have the two best teams getting after it tonight. All right, I mentioned I had a former Smack-Off winner on hold. You're probably wondering who that is. How many of you had the BIC, Brad and Corona? If you did, you had it wrong. Let's go to Huntington Beach. Silk Bra. There's your former champ. What's up, Bra? Happy New Year.
Bra, what is up?
What's cracking?
Bra, it may be cold and rainy in SoCal, but that belies my sunny disposition. Calling to get some shine from my Orange County Chargers. Way more fans here than L.A. Their practice facilities here. Their headquarters are here, bra. So let's just say this. It's the Orange County Chargers. Now, Anthony Lynn, he's completely changed the culture. He's changed the whole vibe there. By the way, we would have seen this progression the last two seasons if the Chargers had any kicking game. They would have been in the playoffs the last 2 years. It is very rare that the Chargers' defense and special teams will outplay the offense. This time they did. It was unbelievable. And note to New England, the Charger offense doesn't need to shine for the Chargers to win. How many times, Rome, this season have you said, well, that's a game that the Chargers don't usually win? Well, you know what? Maybe we're coming into a time where that's just what the Chargers do. It's tough to game plan for a threat like Lamar Jackson. This guy is ultra talented. They didn't just, you would hope, just contain him and hope the Charger offense wins. They didn't just contain him. They stitched a clown suit on him, bro. Melvin Ingram was in the backfield more than the Baltimore running backs. And by the way, do they even have running backs? I don't remember them handing the ball off to anybody. The Chargers were on fire yesterday, bro. The victory lap continues here in SoCal. And Salty Sarah, you listen, yeah, as a history major and a history teacher, it's tough to ignore New England's history. By history, I mean the history of them getting a home field every year because their division stinks. But great, they're a great program, of course. The Chargers got no, of course, it's the Chargers. It's their lot in life. They win. They're going to be every team they're playing has less wins than them. This is a great team.
Let me jump in. It's a great call. It's going downhill. End it right now. Just eject.
Okay,
there you go. See ya. You're out. Take it down. They're so tough. He has a great point. He said, how many times, Rome, have you said this year, that's a game that they normally don't win? How many times? I don't know, like five times? It's so true. And you know why I kept saying that? Because they're not the same team. There's nothing about this team that's the same as we used to see. They're tough as hell. They're not afraid to go on the road. Probably because they play every single game on the road. They travel. That defense travels. They don't freak out when they fall behind. They've got heart. They continue to battle. I love the Chargers. And I like them on the road. I like them on the road, generally. And they've got more than a puncher's chance in Foxborough. Great matchup. When we come back, we're talking college football. The head coach of the Houston Cougars, Dana Holgorsen, joins me next. Plenty of time on the back end for your phone calls. 1-800-636-9400. It's 6-8-6. You're in the Jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Hour number 3, straight ahead.